Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know. From masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 635, Godzilla vs. the Kong.
Perfect.
Can they not call him King Kong? Can they not call him that? Like, is that title?
I think it's just like the reboot. I think it's just, you know, like, okay. Kong is the reboot of...
I just wonder if there's like a
way to different
of rights, like a rights issue with Universal.
But I would think you couldn't just create a big giant ape and call it Kong. Like, I think they'd be on
that. That's what
game.
I thought too.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just, I think that makes sense that like King Kong was old movies, and then they're like,
this is the new cool.
Yeah.
Cool
anything
Kong
that kind of plays on that, you know, they'd shut you down. Like I started, you know, I got shut down. I started
the
dildo company, King Dong, but they stepped right in and shut
down. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah, I know. It's very.
Do you do you make all the products yourself?
Well,
are they molds?
They're molds. Yeah. So, but oddly enough, I was not shut down for Godzilla.
Well, it was just different enough.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, no, that's for bridezillas. You can only use this if you're married. The Lord smiles on these sex toys. So
we'll see if that stays in.
Yeah. So Godzilla versus Kong. I thought the really weird twist on this movie is that it's entirely a legal thriller. That Godzilla versus
Kramer versus Kramer, but with monsters.
There's in the prologue, you find out that they fell in love, and. But
and then what's in each of the next six chapters?
It's so hard to sustain a relationship when you come from such different backgrounds. When I was a kid, they would call it a mixed marriage. I don't think you can say that anymore. But so it was
hey,
sad.
Do you want to do shameless plugs?
Oh, yeah. We should probably introduce ourselves. We didn't do that
too.
At all.
We didn't,
it was just
no, that's
Joe
true.
And I. Let's go around the virtual table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find your podcasts, you can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. You can also leave us a rating and review. That's always helpful and helps boost our egos ever so slightly.
Do we even check for those?
I'm doing it right now.
Oh, <that's it. laughs>
I will say we have moved up. Like when you type in REEL, we used to be like towards the like fourth or fifth or sixth, and now we're number three.
I just think that's your phone learning you. I don't.
That also could be true.
Well, here's the thing. I've got a new strategy that will probably work out well. I'm going to rename the podcast "The Movie Clip Out," and I think that will get us to the top of the charts.
So we don't have. We didn't get a new review besides that 4-star one, which is kind of like a backhanded compliment, but
what's
whatever.
The 4-star one.
I don't it said from Helen Buck. This is from March 4th, 2001.
Okay.
How about leaving politics and name calling out of it? 4 stars.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
I'll take it. Yeah, fine. But
I mean, four stars is like when your girlfriend tells you that you're the second best sex she's ever had.
Yeah, you're like, I can handle that.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. I can get it. That's fine.
I'm still in the 99th percentile.
Yeah right. Our ratings have gone up.
Depending on how easy she is.
That's true.
Jeez. What is happening?
The ratings have gone up, but our reviews haven't. So
it's
people are giving us extra, are rating us.
But they're not typing it.
Which is totally fine. Yeah, the ratings are more important than the reviews.
I just thought it was funny earlier. I was so off on a tangent that even Joe was like, how about you get back to the show itself?
Can we go back to doing the show, please?
That's a bad sign. So also we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. But don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get bonus content, and it helps us out tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. So there's all of that. Let's dig in to Godzilla versus Kong.
Did you guys watch the black and white version? Or
I did, from 19, what, 54?
No, the Kong, Godzilla versus Kong, Justices.
I watched the one where they dubbed it entirely into French.
Interesting.
It was cute because Godzilla was wearing a little beret.
I also got to say, there's not a lot of dialogue, so you wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
No,
he's like,
there's no talking in this movie.
Le Raw.
This is exact. I loved this movie. This is exactly what I wanted this to be.
Yeah.
And it was great.
I watched this movie like a week ago. I don't remember hardly anything about it, but I remember that I liked it because it was
two
just,
giant monsters smashing each other.
That's all you need to have.
That's all
like,
I need.
You don't. Okay. Okay, I have a game to play. I brought a game. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Editor, cue the game show music. Are you ready?
Do we have game show music?
I don't know. Find some.
There'll be nothing here.
No, okay, sure.
Thank you, editor.
All right, here's the game. Name one human character from this movie without looking and go.
11.
Maddie. Nope.
Madison.
Her name is
Madison.
Name one human character from this movie series and not another
Madison.
Film.
I can only name them by... I can only name them by other things that they've been in.
The Paperboy. 11's... Millie Bobby Brown's character name is Madison.
Shut up. You're looking at a computer
screen.
I'm not. Why do you know that, and why do you
Because
care?
They keep screaming it over and over and over.
My point is... Okay, so you can name one out of a franchise with three shared movies in it. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter, and what Adam Wingard, the director, did with this movie was... smart, because we're here to watch the giant, you know, nuclear reactor lizard punch the huge monkey, and that's all we want to watch.
That's all I want to watch. I gotta tell you, like, Adam Wingard has always kind of been on the like he was an independent horror guy for a long time.
This is his
like
first big one, right?
Yeah, he did Death Note on Netflix, which we covered, but this is like his
blockbuster
big thing.
This
I gotta
is,
tell you,
yeah.
He killed it. Like,
this is what, yeah.
It's a beautiful looking movie.
Yeah. It's a good looking movie. I was honestly kind of bored by it.
Really?
Yeah. Like in my review on the radio, I was just like, the secret to this movie, if you're pressed for time, just whenever a human being talks, go do something else.
Like, that's true. Like, skip it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
But it's like, but the problem with that though is that it's like, to me, when the monsters were fighting, there were no stakes. It was just a boxing match.
But
and
what do you...
So,
hold on. Stakes, hold on. We came to see Godzilla punch King Kong. The stakes were who will win. Like, that's the whole
I
movie.
I mean, if that's enough for you, then okay. But it wasn't for me.
Really?
Like, I was just like, who? Like, what happened? Okay, if Godzilla beats Kong, what happens?
But it looked like Godzilla was going to destroy the entire Earth. That's the premise. The stakes are that Godzilla's on a rampage. We don't know why, and Kong has to stop him.
Do we ever know why?
He was targeting that company, right? That was trying to create weapons or something.
Oh,
right?
Not Weyland-Yutani, the other one?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, again, I don't remember
Apex
a ton, but
Industries.
He was attacking that company because they wanted to create Mechagodzilla as a weapon and harness his energy. And so he was actually trying to destroy them. But then the news is like, why is Godzilla attacking cities? But he's really was you know, going after them.
Here's the thing is it's weird. I watched the movie and then I listened to the Binge Movies podcast and they described this perfectly. This is a wrestling angle. This whole movie is one, right? Godzilla turns heel.
Yeah.
Here comes Kong, the baby face. Mm-hmm. And like his back's up against the wall because Godzilla's better, you know, stronger than he is. They have a three match series. The bad guy wins the first one, the good guy wins the second one, and then it goes to a draw on the third one so they can come back later and do a fourth one if they really want to. This is like, we've complained so often about Pacific Rim or...
I don't complain about Pacific Rim.
Well, like, I think we complained that it was dark and rainy the whole time, so
yeah,
like they did their best to hide it. And even in Godzilla and King of the Monsters... They went out of their way to put everything in at night and in the rain.
That movie was horrible.
Which one?
King of the Monsters was horrible.
Yes. It has its moments, but
it was dark. It was a snooze. I mean, Joel fell asleep during it. I think I fell asleep doing it.
Oh, my God. That's right.
That movie is so... It's just such a bummer when you're like, yeah, look at this. Godzilla looks really good. It's going to be super cool. No, it was cool that they introduced different monsters and everything. But the problem was, if I remember correctly, they spend way too much time with the human characters. It's like 2 hours of human characters and then like 10 minutes.
I feel like they learned their lesson from Kong Skull Island, right?
Which
they were trying to make Godzilla movies that were like for grownups. Like they were still somewhat grounded in reality. And like that, and I liked that first Godzilla movie, but you don't see Godzilla for like an hour.
And I liked the first one too, yeah.
But it was basically Jaws, right? But
yeah, it was like almost
the
like,
main character's last name was even Brody. So
yeah, definitely.
But they got kind of like hamstrung by that, and then Skull Island was just crazy.
Skull Island is awesome. That and movie was so much fun.
It's the best of all of these.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Skull Island was a lot of fun. And Skull Island, for me, like, that was big, dumb fun. This wasn't as fun for me. Like, I get that they're giving you lots of, like, monsters beating each other up, but, like, I never really understood why. I never really understood, like, what happened if one lost versus the other one. You know, I was just like, I just, it's happening, I guess, but I don't know, understand why. Or why it matters. And then whenever people talked, it was like somebody punched me in the face.
No, I think that Skarsgård is terrible. That guy is the new version of Armie Hammer minus the cannibalism, as far as I know.
As far as we know.
I mean, I don't have a problem with him, but I didn't even know he was in this movie. I didn't like care. Okay, how much do you think Kyle Chandler got paid to shoot those two scenes he's in?
I know,
where he's
right?
Walking around.
Him.
$500,000.
That dude, I mean, he probably made a nice payday for showing up for one. That's like a one-day shoot.
Yeah, oh,
they
easily.
Call him on the phone once, and then he's like at the end of the movie looking around. Oh, my God. He's involved with nothing of the rest
they
of the movie.
They just reused footage from, which one was he in? The second one?
The second one,
because he's 11's father.
Yeah,
right. Okay,
and that's then the third one, right?
11's
or isn't?
Well,
or
the second
Godzilla,
Godzilla
movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
And 11's mom was Vera Farmiga.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh geez, did she get eaten?
She gets killed.
She was
though,
a scientist, right?
But she was like a crazy scientist. Like she was the bad guy.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, she was trying to get the monsters to study them or something. Right?
She was the bad guy in the second one. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the second Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like, there's a lot of weird homages in this movie too. Like there's a scene where Kong, has his shoulder dislocated and he, rigs it and like rams his shoulder into a building like Riggs from Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's hilarious. I know the joke going around was the Martha joke. That happens in this movie.
That's retired, though. We can't. That joke's
but
been
I mean,
going
like,
on
that,
for...
They do that in this movie, right? Like, there's a scene at towards the end where Godzilla has Kong dead to rights. And, like, they have this weird moment where they both kind of look at each other. And you can almost tell that they... Are mocking the Martha line.
I didn't think of it that way.
I just thought
it was like respect. Like Godzilla's like, hey, look, I won. I'm not going to kill you, you know, but we both know who won because he let him live is what happened. I just kind of took it as one of those. You know what I mean?
I like, just the whole way the scene was set up, it's set up almost identical to BVS. And I just thought it was like a nice little like, eh.
I think it's hard not to draw comparisons.
I guess that's true.
I mean, I'm not saying, I mean, maybe Adam Wingard did, but I, in my mind, I just feel like it was that, it was showing that like, yeah, Godzilla, I mean, if you think about it, yeah, Kong's a huge monkey, but like Godzilla is a walking nuclear power plant that shoots fire out of his, like he tears through things with those spikes. Like Godzilla right. should just be ripped in half in 5 seconds. Or I'm sorry, Kong should be ripped in half. Like
he's the king, man.
Yeah.
He's too good.
He should never win. I'm not saying I like smarter. Kong.
Right? Yeah, he's smarter than Godzilla.
He's smarter.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he knows sign language.
He has an axe, for Christ's sake.
Like, that axe was awesome. Okay. A Godzilla scale charge.
That
on
was
an
ridiculous.
It was
in the best possible
yes.
way.
Yes. Yes.
But, well, awesome. And there's your homage, right? Like, that's where he rams the handle down Godzilla's throat. Like,
what a great little thing.
But, yeah, because, like, that's from, there's a, I what is it, another, the other, the original Godzilla versus King Kong, where King Kong grabs a tree and rams it. Down yeah,
oh, and I was like, "That's how, it's a great gif, like it's a perfect gif for all of it." But,
but talk about missed opportunity. Like I can never forgive this movie for one thing.
What's
they
that?
Taught King Kong sign language. There is not one scene where he flips somebody off. Not one.
Not
you think one.
You, the way this whole movie plays, you think like that would be a thing.
How do you not? You got a big giant ape that you've established knows sign language. He doesn't flip anybody off.
You know,
not a single person.
Because
not one person.
King Kong is classy.
No.
He's classy.
No, I didn't come. You don't go to a King Kong versus Godzilla movie for its classiness. You go to it for a giant monkey flipping somebody the bird. Has Clint Eastwood Any Which Way You Can movies taught you nothing?
He's so classy. We get a scene of him scratching his butt early in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of like, oh, this is dumb, this is stupid. And I just don't.
You cannot criticize it.
What did you want? What do you want from this movie?
I wanted to kind of care about who was going to win.
Oh,
like, I didn't know. Like, I was always like, okay, if Kong loses, then what? I don't know.
But
well, I mean,
I don't have any
they
idea. Did a wrestling angle, right? Like the two, they both got a win.
Hey, man, Joe, like you can make what I'm about to say your ringtone, and it pains me to say it, but wrestling has better stories.
Sometimes,
like the
sometimes.
Story,
we need to edit that though. We need to clip that, save that for me. That's for my own personal use.
Oh, all right, I'm a little
dirty.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
I'll send you one of my King Dong prototypes. No, good old time.
Well, this will be our last show, so thank you, everyone.
We had a good run, boys.
Great,
but Joe at least died with a smile on his face.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I just
and a sphincter.
Not my well, yeah, that's probably.
Is it winking?
Yeah, it'll get that far.
I'm honestly at a loss for words when people are just like, it was dumb, it was boring.
There
I was
are
like,
movies that are supposed to be dumb. You're not.
Yeah, like I don't mind that it was dumb. But I do mind that that for me it was boring. Like I wanted to at least know what happens if one of them lost the fight. And I will say, these sorts of movies always frustrate me because I know going in, ultimately, there will be no winner.
No.
Right?
Right.
Like, you know, like because these properties are owned by different people, nobody's going to allow their moneymaker to lose. And
sure.
So,
well, I also hated that whole the Kong versus Godzilla, who will win, and the fights back and forth. It's like, it was so stupid because you knew neither would lose. So
right.
I obviously a lot of people played into it and they like rooting for their team. It's whatever and that's fine. But with me, for me, knowing that the stakes were nothing, like for either of them to lose.
So it's interesting. So who owns Kong? Does Warner Brothers own Kong?
Universal.
Or does Universal?
Wasn't it Universal that did the Kong movies? I
forget who made the original.
So then how did this end up with on HBO Max?
Well, they can license it. I mean.
Oh,
I mean, they could always
license. I thought this was a WB movie. Maybe it wasn't.
No, this is a Legendary, and I guess WB had a deal to distribute Legendary Productions.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, you're right.
You know
they
what I'm
do
saying?
Have
like,
that. There was definitely a deal in place.
You know, and Nolan
Legendary.
Broke it off, I think, after
okay,
all
so
that.
Originally it was an RKO picture, so who knows where
so
the
who,
rights
yeah,
are.
Yeah, that's all over the place.
But
yeah.
Universal made like the Peter Jackson King Kong, right? I think Universal is the one that's been making those.
I thought WB did that because he was, because I thought he was, I thought Jackson was tied into WB, right? To Warner Brothers. Am I making that up?
Maybe WB got it after a while. I don't see, the thing is, I'm not a huge Kong or Godzilla. Like, I haven't seen the old movies. Like,
so Godzilla is Toho.
It was distributed by Universal.
Universal, okay. See? That's okay. What I thought, because I remember the just the intro or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
so,
you know what? That makes sense, because, I mean...
The Universal ride.
Universal ride, yeah.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Sure,
it's been there forever.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even before the
one... Is it
one,
still there?
I think they got rid of it, but, like, even back in the day, there was, like, there was, like, the hand that would come out and grab you when you
were on the tram.
Yeah. Like, you know, so, I mean, they've had a King Kong presence there for a
it was
long
their
time.
Yeah, it was supposed to be their opening day ride, and I think it malfunctioned and they had to delay it. You know, the huge Kong animatronic,
the
I
giant
think
hand
wouldn't
or
work for a couple of days, and like so people were ticked because they were, you know, lining up or whatever to get in. It was the big opening thing, and then they were like, yeah, you can't get
oh
in
by
there,
the
so.
Way
I think no I'm Kong. Pretty sure it's that one. I haven't looked into that for a while, but anyway, yeah, so I think with this movie, I mean, it's really smart what Wingard does, because he gives us, like you said, what we want. And I totally get, and in our criticism wasn't with you, Tom, for saying like you wanted to care more or whatever. But the people that are saying like it's dumb,
yeah, like,
that makes it bad. That makes no sense for this franchise.
I mean, it's a monkey punching a lizard. Like what you want? What's the smart version of that look
right.
like? Right? Like I, you know. And I will say this, like. The complaint about the first two Godzilla movies was how little action there was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they have certainly rectified that. So, I mean, I have to acknowledge that. Like, you will not. And I think that's part of why the people who love this movie are loving it so much, is because you do get a lot of that. And a lot of times these movies lately, they kind of scrimp on that. So kudos to them for at least getting that part right. I just wish they had gotten the stuff in between those moments right, because it would have made those fight scenes way more interesting if you could care. Like I feel
the
like
stakes.
The people that really love this movie, they just have a deep love for Godzilla and King Kong. So
yeah.
It's fun. Like they don't need the story because they already love the characters, and they have 40 other movies that they can think about while they watch these fights, and that's enough for them, and that's fine. It's just I've never really been a big monster movie guy, and so they've never really done much for me, and so for me it needs to be kind of like a little better than that.
Well,
sure,
you need Abbott
sure.
and Costello.
Yeah, Abbott Costello meets King Kong, man. Now you're talking.
This was the Godzilla and Gamera and King Kong, not as much, because the King Kong movie wasn't like smashy.
Right.
It was a story. Like it was a love story.
Totally. It was more the serious version of a monster movie, right?
Yeah.
Like, even
yeah,
though
absolutely.
It kind of gets repackaged and kind of remembered as a kid's movie because of the stop motion and the monster angle of the film. It
right.
really is a film for grown-ups. Not that kids can't watch it, but I don't know how much it would really entertain a kid until he starts swatting down airplanes off the Empire State.
That's where the Peter Jackson movie, I think, it's not good. Like, that's not a good movie.
I like
it
that movie.
Looks
I liked
oh,
it.
Man.
I thought
yeah,
it,
I
mean,
like,
it was a little
it feels,
slow.
That's, like, yes.
I think he kind of, even though it predates this, he kind of Zack Snyder'd it, right? Like, he was so in love
sure.
with the source material, and he mm-hmm. so wanted it to be. He made the mistake of thinking epic story means epic runtime, and I think if he'd have tightened that movie up,
right? Oh, and, that's probably true.
You know, like because it
yeah.
because it was like what a 2.5, 2-hour and 45
yeah.
minute runtime,
yeah.
And he was like, I'm telling this epic story for the ages, and it's like really because the first one was an epic story for the ages, and it was like 90 minutes long, so. Like I think like where it is in your heart isn't necessarily where it's at on the page, and by making the page the size of your heart, you
right.
you did a disservice to the film. But but I don't think it's.
Maybe
an
I need to rewatch
movie.
It. I just remember being very bloated and
yeah. I mean,
boring.
I don't think that you're wrong. But I definitely think it's better than the 1976 version.
So it was Faye Dunaway. Is that who was the lead in the 76 version?
So, 76
yeah.
was it?
I think it is. I think
Wait,
that's,
no,
I think
no,
it's
no,
like
no,
the
no,
first
no,
time. Faye Dunaway is the original one, right?
Yeah,
and
old,
then,
like
no,
30 something or whatever.
Faye Dunaway, no,
What?
Oh, Faye Ray.
Faye
Dunaway. I'm pretty sure that people are yelling at their radio right now.
I'm pretty sure Faye Dunaway, that's her first. Like, it's introducing Faye Dunaway in that movie. And then it's Naomi Watts in the Peter Jackson version.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that one a lot. The thing is that I guess it all just depends on what Jessica Lange
that was in.
Ah,
and all I could think was Glenn Close. I was just like, but no, it was Jessica Lange.
But that's her first role, right?
I think it might have been. If not, it was really early in.
Okay.
I think, you know, a lot of this just depends on what you enjoy. Like, you know, if you enjoy getting into the mythology of stuff and watching a 3-hour movie, I mean, Peter Jackson does a really great job of building up Skull Island and the creatures, and like you care about the characters because you meet them all, and you get like, I think he does a really good job of establishing that stuff. And sometimes you feel like watching a 3-hour movie where you just want to go on that adventure with the characters that you learn about.
Sure,
and, you know, and sometimes you want a 90-minute, you know, beat 'em up movie. So it just, I think it really just depends.
That is
on
the
you,
advantage that Wingard had here is he, this is a tight movie.
It is. It does.
Yeah,
it is
credit for that, man. Credit for that. Like I really, when I sat down to watch this movie, I'm like, this thing's going to be 2.5 hours long. And it was an hour and 53 minutes and like 20 of it are credits.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And also
he's a smart
like,
filmmaker.
When like, I looked up that who was the female lead of the King Kong 76 movie, I don't know how did I not know that Joe Piscopo was in the original, was in the 76.
As who?
I don't know, but he's listed as being in King Kong.
King Kong is in the suit.
He's Kong.
Yeah.
That, and it's Adrian Brody and Jack Black
in the Jackson version?
Yeah,
you should go back and watch it. And there's
maybe
the
I'll give that a rewatch.
Cut, I think that maybe.
Oh, so that's like 5 hours long in black and white? Great.
4.5. No, he doesn't. He's not that pretentious.
No.
Come on.
I mean,
we can briefly talk about the characters in this movie. There's a podcaster, so I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Right?
And he's like the neurotic conspiracy theorist podcaster, which is becoming a new thing.
Yeah, Brian Tyree Henry plays him. Like, I liked him. I thought he was really funny in this movie. Like, I mean, again, I don't care about the characters. Like, I can't tell you their names and all that. But when he was on screen, I liked his neurotic, like, conspiracy theorist podcaster. I mean, he was right. He was trying to uncover what this company was doing. But, you know, he seemed like he was a crazy. And I think it was at least clever how, like, Millie Bobby Brown's character listened to his podcast.
Was all in.
So, but she listened to him and followed him because she's into all the monster stuff, obviously. And so then they meet up and you're like, okay, cool. They kind of know each other because she knows him from the show. And so
I did like the, when they meet for the first time and he said, tap water, tap or bottle. And she was like, bottle. And he looks at the other kid and he's like, tap. He's like, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And that, I like that other kid. Like, that kid was in Deadpool too. Like,
he's from Hunt for the Wilder People. He's the
He's a Taika Waititi guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that, and
he was very funny in this too.
Yeah, he does. Hey,
he
nothing
kinda irritated
like
me.
He kind of irritated me as well, but he had like, I liked the water bottle line, and then I liked the hacking line where he's like, I did HTML in summer camp, and the podcaster's like, are you kidding me? And he messes it up and he can't log in.
Do you like those Taika Waititi movies, Tom? I mean, I think if you like him, you probably like this role.
I do like those movies. So
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't I don't know. I kind of felt like there was too much going on there. Like, I think it should have just been, I don't know that there should have been a third.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I think if they would have cut out the humans even more, even though this movie does a good job compared to some of the other entries into the franchise, I agree. Like, but the thing is, with this slim runtime, I mean, pretty much it's just off to the races. Once you get past this little human, you know, you introduce those main characters, and you're like, okay, whatever, now let's get to the monsters. And so, I mean, the bulk of the movie is, there's Godzilla's destroying towns, and you don't know why. Kong is captive by
they've got him locked at Skull Island.
The Rebecca Hall is researching on in this facility that, like, I thought that was really cool how that made it
are
look
they not
like
on
was,
Skull Island or
they
are they
are,
just
but they're in a facility Skull Island, and I thought it was really cool how it looked like the jungle, and then when he threw a big spike, you're like, what the hell is he doing? And then it shatters and you see like all the plates or whatever that
pixelated
are generating the imagery. And so I thought it was visually, there were some really cool moments. I mean, aside from the fight stuff, but just the jungle and everything that they created, the visuals looked very realistic.
Like that, he, like I said before, he has been a small time, and I don't mean small time, but like independent horror filmmaker. He's done some great stuff, mm-hmm. right? Like there's some really good horror movies that he's done. I think he did The Guest and You're Next, which we, I think we covered both of those maybe.
I don't think we covered The Guest. Yeah.
I think we did You're Next, but he also did, two
the
other
Blair Witch
ones
remake.
Not good.
Reboot or whatever that,
that was.
That was
not very good. But
I don't really remember it, honestly.
It was like a soft reboot where the brother of the girl from the first one goes into the woods to
and
try
to find.
And
it was the one where they like they filmed it and they didn't kind of tell anybody it was going to be a Blair Witch movie. And then they were like, surprise, it's Blair Witch.
They should have just left it that way.
Yeah. And it wasn't awful, but it was just kind of like it added nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. Yeah. You're right. And then so there were the two other ones that he did that I can't think of, but those are like those two super independent ones.
The Guest is awesome.
The Guest is great.
Dan Stevens. Someone said the other day that Armie Hammer should be automatically replaced by Dan Stevens in everything. I 100%
I can see
that.
Dan
Stevens is great.
He's really good.
Watch The Guest if you haven't seen it. It's excellent. And like Dan Stevens is the Beast in the live action. I mean, obviously it's CG'd, but he's the Beast.
He's on
that.
Legion. He was the lead on Legion.
Legion. He's the main character. I need to finish season 3. I watched 1 and 2. I really loved Legion, but I just haven't started 3 yet.
It was good. He did.
One of the nice things about the Armie Hammer scandal, one of the upsides, I'd like to be a glass half full kind of guy, right?
This
like,
should
I
be
think
interesting.
Everybody knows
right?
me about my positivity. Is that now I can tell people I'm refusing to watch Lone Ranger out of a sense of moral superiority, right? Like, before it was just like, it's a bad movie, but now I can be like, I can't even watch this movie.
He
now.
Eats people. What am I can't watch? I can't support that.
I'm worried what could happen to Silver or Tonto.
Oh man,
Silver's not the problem. Tonto would be the problem.
Talk about those two guys, and I know that like the Amber Heard stuff and all that. But I'm just saying that movie is Armie Hammer and Johnny Depp.
I heard they're actually going to do a version where they edit in Kevin Spacey.
Well, I mean,
what's our least most offensive option in this movie?
Yes,
CG Christopher Plummer.
Yeah, they're going to digitally insert Kevin Spacey, and I don't mean in the film. I just mean they're going to digitally insert him.
too, anytime is too soon.
No, it's not. Not for that guy. That guy can go screw. Well, or not. Maybe
well,
not.
Yeah,
no,
that's the problem.
Do
we don't want to talk about him digitally or inserting anything.
So Godzilla has had this life through the Toho films. Like Tom said, there's like 50 movies. It's interesting how the American audience kind of did their own Godzilla.
Yeah, Yokiro Taco Bell.
Right.
Right.
They've done
Pepsi
three.
And Taco Bell or whatever. Chihuahua. Remember all those commercials?
Yes.
That was like right, like 2000, right? Wasn't it Godzilla was set in.
Oh.
It was like 1999 or something. But 98, but it was called Godzilla 2000.
Yes.
Or so, I don't remember.
Oh, no. It was just called Godzilla. There was a Godzilla 2000, but that was a Toho movie.
Okay. But I don't know why I remembered it
99.
Being,
I think it was 98 or 99.
I know it was 90-something, but then...
Call Dan.
I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Dan, remember that Dan came up with the giant Godzilla chip?
Yeah. No, you're right. It's 1998, right? They passed on. I'm telling you, they would Doritos would be in a whole different thing now.
People would still be talking about that promotion to this day.
Yes. We are.
They would recycle it. They'd bring it back. Well, and did you see that there was like some sort of tie-in where it was like... They were selling like quadruple hamburgers, and one was the Kong, and one was the Godzilla. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Movie. So someone still they 25 years later they stole Dan's idea.
Stole
and
Dan's
it
idea.
To burgers.
Those bastards.
I can just imagine Dan being with like the big long beard and all the shovel and being like, "I came up with that idea."
You know that Kong
and
burger?
You know we should probably say for people that you know don't necessarily take notes on every episode or haven't been listening for 45 years. So when Dan was on the show, he talked about he was working for an advertising agency that was contracted to do come up with ideas to pitch in relation to. The Godzilla movie, the version with Matthew Broderick, and his idea, because they were pitching Doritos, was to sell Godzilla-style Doritos, and you would open the bag, and there would just be one giant Dorito in there, which is genius. absolute genius.
It's a great idea.
And they didn't do it. And if they had done that, again, people would still be talking about that to this day. People would still have those bags of Doritos.
Oh, for sure.
And they would sell for $150 on eBay.
Right.
Like, it would be like Pepsi free.
Yeah. Totally.
If you want a Pepsi, you got to pay for it. It's just interesting that there's only been three, up until this point, there have only been three Kong movies, and they're remakes. Like, the one's the original, and there's two remakes of King Kong, and there have been
any other Kong movies?
No.
In the olden days?
So Kong is in the Godzilla movie.
Right.
Or the King Kong versus Godzilla. He's in that. And then, I don't think that I'm wrong, but
seems like there's been more, but I don't know.
I don't think that there has.
Wow. Okay. Well, he pops up in other movies, though.
But not like Godzilla. Not like where it's like Kong punching, you know.
Because, yeah, there was Son of Kong.
There you go.
What is that?
Well, so when two Kongs love each other very much.
I've only seen one Kong, though.
But yeah, there was Son of Kong, and that's from 33.
I see Kong. Oh, okay. Is that a Kong movie?
Mighty Joe.
Or is that a ripoff of King Kong?
Yeah, here's a description of
Kongo.
Son of Kong. It movie picks up 1 month after the events of the first film. The
1 month? That's all it takes?
The director Carl Denham returns to Skull Island in search of treasure. Instead, he and his fellow adventurers find a giant albino gorilla. Oh, that's offensive. believed to be Kong's son, as well as a panoply of other bizarre and oversized.
Now wait a minute.
Does it actually say panoply?
It does.
How many is a panoply?
It's more than four, but less than 100. And then there's King Kong versus Godzilla from 62.
Right,
and
right,
then
right.
King Kong Escapes in 67.
Oh. Okay, okay.
And then the remake in 76, and then King Kong Lives in 86.
Oh, wow. I had no idea that there were this many.
And
well,
then
I just,
the
I
Mighty
like...
Kong in 98.
What is that?
It looks like it's animated.
That's what I thought. I think it's an animated
I just like
TV
this
show.
Peter Jackson's in 2005. And then there's Kong... King of Atlantis.
That doesn't seem right.
It's also a cartoon.
Oh.
I saw him in the water in this one. It didn't work.
1961 Konga. The poster says, not since quote-unquote King Kong has the screen exploded with such mighty fury and spectacle. Konga. It has an A on it.
Gotta watch it.
The screen exploding was also going to be, we were going to make a film version of King Dong. And that was going to be our tagline. So we got actually sued twice. It was kind of a three-way King Dong.
Oh,
a three-prong King Dong?
It was a double-sided King Dong. That's what we called it.
It's two-pronged. Two-pronged
King
Dong.
That lasted too long.
So what I like about this movie was how ridiculous it was. And again, like when they say stupid in the best ways possible. So this movie, they go to... these people that are researching on a theory to go to the center of the earth.
Yep.
And at the center of the earth, they find a cool like gravity point to where like if you jump high enough, you reverse and then gravity pulls you the other way. I mean, it's so insane, but that's what I loved was this movie was all the like sci-fi ridiculous stuff with, you know, besides from the two monsters.
They talk about this in Skull Island, their hollow earth theory, and that was part of why people wouldn't believe the scientists, because the scientists were like, the earth is actually hollow and there's giant monsters in there. And people are like, you know, okay, QAnon, you know.
Yeah, but I love that they go there and they do it and it makes no sense, but it's sci-fi, right? And so in the visuals of the floating stuff and like the way that they went between the gravities of the top. I mean, I thought all that stuff looked really great. I mean, that's some wicked imagination from Wingard and the people that like visualized all that, and the CG's top notch. I thought
CG is fantastic.
There are some parts where they were a little wonky, but overall, I mean, the fighting, the water stuff, you know.
Kong, all I could think is like, are they going to get sued by Roger Dean like Avatar did? That's what it
what happened
like.
With that?
Well, because it was, I remember when Avatar came out and I was like, it looks like a Yes album cover. And then Roger Dean did all those classic Yes album covers. And then I believe he ended up suing Avatar.
He did.
And this looked a lot like Roger Dean stuff.
Mm, gotcha.
It's
with the mountains upside down and the, you know.
Like, he looks, it, we've talked about it before, is like in Transformers or any of these where you've got like giant things punching each other and you don't know what's what. They do not put anything in the daytime or at right. nighttime. There's no rain. Like, you get to see everything. They destroy Tokyo. No,
it's on Front Street, man. You can see it. And I think that's what people are responding to. Like, I mean, I didn't care for this movie. I get why someone would like it. Like, I'm not like, you know, it's dumb if you like this movie. But it just, like I said, it just didn't do it for me. But yeah, like when they're fighting, like they're not hiding anything like they are in so many of these other movies.
Right.
And that was one of the things I liked about Skull Island, right? Is it was in the daytime.
All in daytime, yeah.
But I wish the fights in this movie had been more clever. It was just slugfest, which can be fun, but it's not, I don't know, it's not clever. Where I felt like the fights in Skull Island were smarter and more fun to watch, the moves and stuff.
I'll tell you this movie was the first time that I said this should have been viewed in the theater.
Yeah.
This is a movie. I've been a proponent of, like, I mean, it's great that VOD is coming out. It's allowed us all to watch movies and everything. That's fantastic. I don't think you have to see most movies in the theater, or really you don't have to see any of them. But when I was watching this, even on a 70-inch TV with decent sound, I'm like, this would have been so cool in the theater. Like,
oh,
there's just experiences. There's just experiences that even if you can still enjoy the movie, which I did, there's no match for the theater. And so I totally get why some people say that about certain movies, where it's like, this is one of them. Like, I don't think you can really debate that the sound, you know, like the hitting and everything. Like, there was no impact watching it at home, where I'm sure each punch would have shaken the seats in the theater. And so I do miss that. And like, I was lucky enough to be able to see Tenet at that really limited screening in the theater, which I thought was an amazing experience. And so if I hadn't have seen Tenet, I would have felt the same way, I'm sure, about that one. Like, there's just some movies with the soundtrack, with the action and everything. I think it's more about sound for me, because again, like, I've got pretty big screens here at home, but that surround sound that shakes the seats, man, it's really, really hard to match that even with a good system.
I would agree. Like, I bought a new TV going into this, like, time when HBO announced all of this stuff, HBO, Disney, all of, they're like, everything's coming to the streaming services. Like, we're getting it all. And I was like, man, I have to upgrade. Like, I'm not going to watch these movies on like a TV I bought 15 years ago.
Right.
And this was the first time I was like, oh, we're using this TV to its full capacity. Mm-hmm. Like, a sound bar, the whole thing. So we're ready to rock and roll. But I would agree. Like, this is one of those ones that needed. This is the first time I remember thinking, this would have been pretty ridiculous in the theater.
It's like, again, I miss the theater in general. Like, I loved going to the theater. I mean, again, the stupid audience stuff aside, I mean, going to the theater is really fun. And especially when you go with your friends and everything and talk afterwards. But I haven't really felt this way about a movie where I felt like I'm not having the full experience. So, like, this is a movie where the crowd would be cheering when cool stuff happens. This is a movie.
Oh yeah, when he leaps in the air with a atomic powered axe, that would have been like
over and over and over. I felt the moments, like, I felt that I was missing out on the audience cheering and the impact of the sound. And you know what I mean? Like, so, because this movie. Like, when we talk about movies that feel like rides, like, we're Gravity, right? Like, Gravity, I did not like, but I admired it. I know I'm the minority here, but...
Really? You didn't like that?
I didn't, because I thought it was boring, but I said it's the best space simulation I've ever seen. Like, Gravity at home, I would have found almost no enjoyment. Gravity in the theater was at least a cool experience in IMAX and all that. So some movies are more, I think, experiences, and, like, this movie is a really cool, beat-em-up, stupid movie that's more of an experience. Like, again, I can't really remember much about it. But at the time, I was having a blast. And that's the experience that I'm going to take away. Not the plot, not the characters. All that stuff doesn't matter. But if you want to watch a movie that you're just like, yeah, this is cool, and you're just like hanging out, I think this is great for that.
I thought Tom was going to say something.
No, I mean, it's honestly, like, I don't even know what more to say about this movie. Like, I wouldn't even classify it as 60 minutes to suck. I just, like, there's not a lot of meat on the bone. Like, it's just they punch each other, and when they're not punching each other, it's a snooze fest.
So, like, the one more plot point. So we talked about Godzilla's destroying these things. So we find out that this evil company, I guess Apex Cybernetics, is the bad guys. They're trying to build Mechagodzilla. So that was the big, like, reveal, like, that they didn't they didn't really show.
And they're
you.
using the heads of Ghidra. I think that's how you say it from the second Godzilla movie.
One, yeah, as like power. Yeah, they're like, aren't they like driving Pacific it Rimming from it. Inside a skull? Yeah, basically, it's like Pacific yeah. Rim. And so they're trying to power Mechagodzilla to use it as a weapon. And so we think that Godzilla is just destroying towns randomly, but really he's trying to attack these companies and whatever. I mean, that's what I gathered from the plot. So eventually the Mechagodzilla gets powered up. We see the big reveal. It looks really cool. I mean, it's a really cool robot bad guy thing. And so now we've got Kong and Godzilla doing their like alpha thing. Like who's the king of the monsters. Like it comes down to in these other movies, they've killed all the other ones. And so now like Kong and Godzilla are the big ones left and they have to prove who's the king. But there's this other threat out there. So they fight each other. And then eventually this gets powered up to fight them. And then they kick its ass. And that's the plot.
And it's, like, but it's like, we're kind of glossing over the fact that there's this girl, this young girl who has taught him sign language, who I thought was really good. She has no lines, but I thought she was,
I thought
she was fine. Like she was a good little protagonist.
Who is she to Rebecca Hall's character? Adopted daughter or
no? So she is like her family was killed. It's by something.
Okay, so she's so, just like
she's like an orphan,
her.
And Rebecca Hall has kind of adopted her as like her daughter, kind of.
What I didn't like about this, and this is almost like the opening of the movie when we talk about Kong being enclosed inside of that inside of the place on Skull Island, they send this little girl to go up to this gigantic. I mean, the Kong is as big as Godzilla in this movie. I don't really understand the sizes because I never imagined him that
big. He was
big.
Smaller. So he was smaller in Kong.
But he's like really grown.
But now we're,
Yeah, there's he's one even got line a bigger, where they're like, he's bigger now.
Okay.
He's got a bigger beard.
Because at first when you saw Skull Island, even as intimidating as Kong was, and then you're like, he's going to go, did you see how big Godzilla is? And they show the spikes coming out of the water and stuff. You're like, this thing is as big as a skyscraper. But okay, so now Kong's bigger. So they send this little girl that can't even hear up to him, and surely she could like feel the vibration of him breathing. That would be horrific.
I don't think as much as I complain about the plot of the movie, I think you might have misinterpreted that scene.
Okay.
I don't think they sent her up to him. She had been sneaking off to see him. Like in
that first scene, I thought Rebecca Hall was watching. The later one, she sneaks off to go see him.
Oh, I thought it was like because they didn't know that he spoke sign language. If they sent him off, then she taught him the sign language, and they didn't know he was doing it, right?
But this is before all sign language.
He knew the sign language up until he didn't just pick up on the word.
No. That's not what I said. No, this is before we saw the sign language reveal. In the very beginning, she just walks out there, and then Rebecca Hall's like, "Good job, sweetie," whatever. Like she sent her to go appease Kong when Kong could have just like taken his pinky finger and been like, "Boop." And so I thought that was kind of like. That was the stupid part.
I thought
part.
She was supposed to be having like some sort of like secret relationship with Kong behind everybody's back.
No, because Rebecca Hall saw it then. She says good job afterwards or whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I just thought it was dumb because who would send a little child against this gigantic thing that's like destroying things around you?
Well,
like,
that's why you use a kid that's not your own, right?
Like, oh, no. He's an orphan.
She's an orphan. Nobody's going to miss her. Like it's, you know, like that's.
So the heart of the movie that you get. the heart of the movie all comes from this little girl and she's deaf. So she does sign language and she's been teaching Kong, like Joe said. And so we care about. You know, that's like the heart of it where it's like, oh, Kong is actually like he's smart and he cares. He doesn't kill humans that he knows are good, you know, that aren't trying to capture him or whatever.
Except for all the humans that were in those buildings that he smashed.
Right.
Well, they were off killed. Work that day, Joe.
Yeah, right. Hundreds we'll say of thousands of people. here's your Snyder cut. Like they don't even pretend. They don't even have like, thank God it's a holiday and everybody's at home.
I know. Like you can't have Godzilla and Kong without buildings getting demolished.
I know. No. Like, it makes complete sense. But also,
There's like one scene where they show a handful of people running from buildings in the street. But other than that, like they present the city as if it's completely empty, and we're not supposed to think about the hundreds of thousands of people that they would have to be killing.
As soon as he punched a building, I was like, huh. You know, if this was a Superman movie, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, but, that's the problem with
it's not.
That's the problem with all these movies, right? When they destroy things, it's like, how do you not have collateral damage? Or, I mean, at least I like that in Avengers, that's a huge plot point, right? Like Age of Ultron, the whole thing superheroes get like outlawed or almost, or, you know, like they come up with all this Sokovia Accords because tens or hundreds of thousands of people died because of their actions. Like, I love that they're smart enough to be able to have stakes and have repercussions.
And even in the Spider-Man movies, like you see with Michael Keaton, like there's a cottage industry that builds up around this to repair things after
that's
that.
That's based
like
on comics, right?
Yeah, there is like a damage ink.
Yeah.
So I love that. And again, I mean, I think that's a whole, it's a different discussion. But, you know, the way that Marvel builds up the universe and has little things like that where it's like, you're not supposed to think superhero movies are realistic as far as the powers and all that stuff. But I love that they do kind of have those real world consequences and like, how would this work? What the people like with the blip, right? Like, how does it work when half the people are missing on Earth? How does it work after a big fight and there's cities destroyed? Like, it's really interesting to see those.
When we talk about like, you know, these superhero movies or monster movies that are quote unquote grounded in reality. And, you know, like, of course, the big giant monsters aren't grounded in reality. Of course, you know, Iron Man or Spider-Man isn't grounded in reality, their existence. But if you're going to put them ostensibly in our world, there would still be real world consequences to their actions. And like, and that's what we mean when we talk about grounded in reality. Like, and it's fun to see like people kind of map out in their heads like, oh, well, here's how society would react to this, or here's how society would respond to this to rectify the damage or whatnot.
Like it's kind of the blessing and the curse of Stan Lee setting all these in New York City, right? Because like when you have Gotham City and Metropolis, you can make up and over time, obviously build up like what those cities are and your take on those cities. But when you have New York, you're kind of constrained and confined, not saying you can't make it a little different, but still it's like New York is New York. So they play within that. But then also we know New York. So like we can relate to it more.
It's crazy to see when things cross over. I think of, I think it was Amazing Spider-Man number 36 or 37, and the cover it's the 9/11 issue. Like the cover is just black, and you open the page and it's Spider-Man like standing on a building, like hands on his head, freaking out because he's watching the Twin Towers fall.
Yeah.
And it's like Marvel is able to do like real world stuff. That doesn't happen often, but with an event like that, like your character, you can't have Spider-Man swinging between the Twin Towers in your comics when they have just been blown up, right? So like they do kind of tie themselves to real world events if something happens in those major cities where in Metropolis and Gotham you're just like the globe fell off the planet building and Superman caught it.
Yeah, it's, okay. It's interesting. I like it. And obviously I like both DC and Marvel, but I think that's kind of neat that Marvel can take real events and tie them in and do all that.
And it doesn't happen often, right?
No, like, but it's like it adds that extra layer of, wow, like you care because it's a real event that you've lived through and now you're seeing it reflected and how would the characters handle it. And so it adds that little extra level that I appreciate.
Where
but
in this, they're just like, we're just going to blow Tokyo up.
Yeah,
and it's going to be a train wreck of a, you know, just buildings everywhere. They're falling into buildings. I think the one thing I would like to touch on briefly is the amount of money this thing made.
I mean, because if anything saved theaters, that's
Which I think is kind of cool. But at the same time, it's like, all right, we're not out of the woods yet, folks. Like,
but
a lot
of people are, right? A lot of people.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Vaccinated.
I guess that's fair.
And you know, so it's not saying that everyone who went had been vaccinated, but you're going to see this as more and more people get vaccinated.
Right.
You're going to see this uptick, especially like, you know, CDC has said that you can travel again if you've been vaccinated. As long as
they've shrunken the like 3 feet.
Yeah, in
I think
schools,
it's from
6 to 3 feet. 3 feet instead of 6 feet, you know.
Yeah, it's a
but
different
how much
time.
Did it make? I didn't know that it made a bunch of money.
Oh, yeah.
It made, let's take a peek here.
$42 million opening weekend.
Wow.
During COVID.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
we're talking about, like, what, crazy. Tenet opened to 8 or something?
5?
Or 10?
Something like that.
I mean, so, but like you said, we got to compare apples to apples. The vaccine's out there.
Right.
Things have changed. So it's not like, it's not fair to say, like, oh, this saved
theaters
because
it's better. Sure.
But it's showing you that things, as they start getting better, but also people, like, they wanted to see us in the theater. And it's what I talked about earlier. There's no mistaking or doubting that this movie's made for the big screen.
Yeah.
The experience, even though we didn't see it that way, it would be better. And people turned up.
It's also a fascinating thing to to think about in terms of, you know, this the theaters are always worried about that simultaneous release, and here's a simultaneous release, mm-hmm. and it still made $42 million.
That's huge that this was available at your house on HBO Max, and people spent $42 million in the U.S. in 3 days. Like, that's...
To me, that is a sign that the simultaneous release may stay, right? Like, if the theaters are open 100% capacity, you know, I think that there are still going to be people that's like, no, I'll skip it. But obviously,
I think if you're a theater owner, you should be one less worried about a simultaneous release, especially if that simultaneous release is a $30 to $50 pay-per-view event as opposed to baked into a streaming service. Like, sure. I mean, I think that there's a lot of people that, you know, that would stay at home, but clearly a lot of people are still going to go to the theater. Like, it's not as ugly of a future as you anticipated.
That's a great sign.
Or how much it was predicted to be, right? Like, when all these services announced that, they're like, that's it. Theaters are dead. Like, there's no way people are going to still go to theaters when you can just sit at your house and watch it for when it's baked in, like you said.
Now, I think it depends on the movie, too.
I was going to say, arguing the other side of that coin, the problem is, though, is that if that's the model, it incentivizes the movie studios to make big, giant spectacle films. And, you know, like, part of the reason this did so well is Godzilla versus King Kong. I mean, those are both, like, cultural touchstones, like shorthand.
Oh, yeah.
Like Batman v Superman?
Like,
should have been a $1 billion movie, right? Should have been.
Kong and Godzilla are both shorthand to mean giant, right? And so you put them in a movie together, and that just screams, you want to see this on a big screen. I mean, you know, think Bridezillas, right? Like, they tack Zilla on because it's a giant monster of a bride. So it's, or, you know, King Dong, right? Like, you know.
You keep trying.
Right. You know what that means.
Right? Are you paying us for sponsorship on this episode?
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew.
I already gave Joe a free one.
Okay, you can give him like my one other too, one. You can give him mine. Please.
So you would like me to give Joe your kingdom?
The one that you were gifting to me, I will politely decline and reroute to
What am
his
I
going to
do with two of them? Oh, wait.
I wasn't going to give you one, Kevin. I was just going to tell Joe to give you his when he's done with it.
Yeah, I'll sanitize it. It'll be fine.
No, thank you.
You can bathe it in UV light. It'll be fine.
So the movie, it's really cool. It's just a big, dumb beat 'em up. And like we've said before, I think this is exactly what people were hoping for. Like, I think it met expectations for the big, dumb action stuff, you know? And I get it. The characters, again, couldn't tell you their names. They were in there too much, even for what it's worth. They don't matter. I think Adam Wingard said in an interview, like, he thinks somebody should do a movie that's all monsters, no human characters.
Did they do that with The Rock? Oh.
No.
Wasn't Rampage basically this exact same movie?
No, there were tons of human characters. I mean, The Rock is the star of the movie.
Okay.
But he's saying...
You know The Rock is a human, right?
There are days where I'm not sure.
That's fair.
Have you seen how much he eats in a day? Good Lord.
I mean, when you're taking all those steroids, you got to do what you got to do.
Hey, we can't make those claims.
Okay.
So anyway, I think that's a really cool idea he had, though. He said, humans can be in the background, but no human characters, like, as the leads, and no English, like, no spoken dialogue. Have the monsters be one, like, the main characters with no humans, and then just the humans are, like, the fodder or, you know, just whatever, running around. That'd be pretty cool.
I'd do it. Why not? You know? Like, if this one's as successful as it was, and I think Rampage was also a pretty successful...
Rampage was a pretty fun movie. I mean, I know I didn't like a lot of the stupid decisions. Again, like, human characters, like, that still makes me so frustrated. Like, I feel bad for this monkey. We have to let it out. Okay, now hundreds of thousands of people die. Like, you're an idiot. The Rock should be in jail in Rampage.
Yes, he stole an airplane.
I'll never get over this. Like, I hate those stupid decisions, but that movie for, like, the effects and stuff was really fun.
Yeah. I think do it. If this is successful, and it has been, I don't see why not. I don't know where you go from here. I don't, because they keep killing. They have the Marvel problem where they just keep killing the monsters.
Well, I think this is it. Like for this franchise, right? I think this. I know they can always make more movies, but like I don't think the idea is, at least right now. Maybe after the box office, they'll change their tune. But
yeah,
I wasn't thinking that like Millie Bobby Brown will be back and Kyle Chandler will be back. And like I was thinking this kind of wrapped up, like they all did the movies to get to Godzilla vs. Kong, and now
you know. They built their universe correctly and then capitalized on it.
I'm not gonna lie, I was really surprised anybody from any of the other movies return.
Like yeah. I think that I was like, you know who they're not gonna get?
John C. Reilly.
Brie Larson and Tom Hiddleston. That's who's not coming back for these movies. John C. Reilly's another one, yeah.
He was great.
You could probably
pull
him. You could probably do him as like a cameo, but you are not gonna get Brie Larson and Tom Hiddleston to come back for Kong versus Godzilla.
I forgot that they were in that movie.
Yeah, they're like the two main characters.
I don't care anything about the characters in these movies. I just don't. You know what I mean?
That's a thing is, like, I think in the early Godzilla stuff is you do kind of center on those characters, and those are kind of important. And Kong, for sure, like those characters in Kong, the original King Kong, are very important. But once we get past your third Godzilla movie, you don't give a crap.
But it's because the Kong, the original one, and I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen it, but I still understand like the black and white one and Kong falling in love with the woman and all that. Like, that's not the same movie as these, right? So like that's not a big smash.
It's a different,
I know there's a couple things with him climbing the Empire State Building, is it? And then grabbing planes and stuff. But for the most part, that movie is a love story, and it's between those two or the main characters. And like, isn't Jurassic Park the Lost World kind of King Kong? They bring the T-Rex back to the States.
Of,
I mean, they're kind
of
recreating that same dynamic. But like, yeah, that movie is different because it's more character driven and you care about Kong. But like when it comes to the beat 'em up, smash 'em up type of movies, you know, give us the action, give us the stuff that looks good and is fun. And, you know, those characters can just whatever.
I like it. Let's do it.
So it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I mean, Tom, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But it sounds like, Tom, those aren't your movies, right? So like,
they're not to start with.
So.
Sure, absolutely. Sure. Yeah, totally. So, I mean, it is what it is. I liked Skull Island a lot, and so I was really hoping we'd get a Godzilla version of that. And
sure.
So I was a little bummed that,
you know, it would be fun if they put Godzilla in Skull Island, right? Then you're not worrying about collateral damage. They just tear it up wherever they are.
What about the center of the Earth thing? Wouldn't he exist with all those other?
I have to believe that's where they're going.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's... If they have enough revenue.
I feel like he's too big for Skull Island. You know what I mean? Like
maybe that's true.
He would just almost dwarf it, and it, like, that's the problem with Godzilla, is he's so large, it's hard to have him interact with these other monsters in a way that's, I hesitate to say believable, but plausible.
Yes. That's, you know, there are some kick-ass crowd-pleasing moments, like when they're on that monster, that Hollow Earth thing, and they're just grabbing monsters and tearing them apart and stuff. Like, there's just some really cool stuff. So I would say, like, if you're vaccinated and you feel safe going to the theater, this is a movie I would like someday to see in the theater. It's a lot of fun. But even at home, like, I watched it with my son, who's almost 12, and like the whole time we were having kind of that audience reaction watching it together. Like, when whenever they would punch each other or rip a monster apart or rip their head off or whatever they do in the movies, it was like, it was just so fun. And to share that with people, you know, in a safe environment, however you feel safe, I think it's a really cool experience.
It was pretty cool. I agree.
Yeah.
Tom, you're wrong.
And we'll do it. We've got to wrap it up.
Yeah. Well, based on the box office, you're
oh,
right.
And 165 million overseas, I think. I mean, it did huge foreign numbers, so
that's
crazy. We're talking about
good for that. I mean, good for it. And I think, and Wingard's doing the Thundercats reboot.
Oh, like, right,
that's next on tap for him. So I'm glad he got a good crack.
And 200 million. Think about that for a movie opening worldwide, 200 million opening weekend.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We haven't seen numbers like that
in a year, at least.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we haven't seen numbers like that since Bad Boys 3.
Yeah.
January. Oh, is that right? Is that the last one?
Yeah. That was the last.
No,
well,
what did,
I guess Invisible Man.
Invisible Man came out.
But that did well, but it didn't do. I don't know that it did blockbuster numbers. I mean, it was a hit, but
Hollywood Video numbers. I get it.
Yeah, but And it was good, but Bad Boys was the one that everybody was like, holy crap.
Because wasn't that the biggest movie of 20?
It ended up being the highest grossing movie of the year, but yeah.
Yeah, Invisible Man was $29 million, so this in pandemic made more than Invisible Man opened to.
Yeah.
Wow. Think about that.
That's
which
crazy
means out. Had it come out in normal times, you'd have probably been looking at $180-$200 million opening weekend.
This is a big
world.
This is
the United States budget or U.S.
Yeah,
budget,
yeah, domestic.
Right?
Yeah.
There you go.
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and wherever you're getting your podcast from, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And, of course, check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for $5 a month you help us out, and we greatly appreciate it, and you get some extra stuff. So, anyway, that's it for this one. I have no idea what's next week. Does anyone?
Nope.
Not a clue.
It was supposed to be Mortal Kombat, but they pushed it back.
Yeah. Gotcha. They want you to get that extra month subscription. Pretty smart.
Yep.
Everyone could have hit Justice League, King Kong, and then some people were like had 2 days to watch Mortal Kombat. They pushed it a week, so they have to buy another month. Like, that's just good business. I can't
fault
them for that because you got for $15, you got two theatrical releases included.
Right.
Like, three's pushing it. You can pay $15 for another
you can
theatrical
pay an extra 15
movie.
Bucks.
Yeah, like,
that's
a good
seems
move.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll have to look it up. I think that Bob Odenkirk movie might be hitting.
Oh, I wanted to watch that.
Oh, well, yeah. And we may have some special giveaways coming up for that, too. So that
Boop
will work
boop.
Well.
Oh, get to. We're giving away Bob Odenkirk. Stay tuned.
No, David Cross.
No, yeah, it's David.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, the Hammer Down Protocol is activated.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.